greetings to all who have come and worshiped with us this morning. I also want to welcome those worshiping online. The title of the message is A New Experience. The key verse is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. If Jesus come to this earth, he become a famous because he has done many miracles. And he has taught very famous sermons, and finally, he was nailed on the cross, sacrificed for everyone, and then he died, and he buried, and always there. What happened? Anything different? Nothing happened. And the key was here, in Christ, the new creation has come. Could not be realized if Christ has not been resurrected. But because Christ has been resurrected, so that whoever is in Christ, that person has become a new creation. Praise be to God. The Lord is actually resurrected, so that whoever put faith in Him in experience, a new experience that is lived by the life of Christ. There's a child in South Africa when the missionary came to teach about and taught about tithing, giving a tenth of your income to express our thankfulness before Him. And this youngster went out to fish, and he caught a fish, and he took the fish, ran to the tent of the missionary where he stayed. And the pastor came out, and he said, yesterday you have preached about giving a tenth of what we have to express our favor. Now, with this fish, I want to come to express my thankfulness. And the missionary said, thank you, and so on. What about the other nine? He said, oh, the other nine is still in the river. This is a new experience. Experience of faith. Though does not have the 10 fish, but he has the faith in the Lord that he knows that when I bring one fish, and then I will have the other 9 is provided by him. So that whoever in Christ, that person has become a creation, that we have the new experience in our life. The new experience can be expressed through that we have read through our passage in John chapter 14 verse 19 to 21. There are 3 experiences that I hope that each one of you can experience for yourself. First is to gain life. Second is to be in Christ. And third is to be loved. Let's pray for guidance. Dear our Heavenly Father, we lift this hour up to you. We know that we have no value before you. But because of love, you have chosen our life and give us the privilege to be your children. May we experience what Jesus has said. Whoever is in Christ, that person becomes a new creation. We hope and pray that we will become a new creation for you, that the old things have passed away, that everything has become new. May the word will lead us so that we can experience this new life in us. Not just something we learn for knowledge or heard about talking about this, but truly experience the new life. May the Holy Spirit be amongst us and lead us and teach us. Open our heart and mind to understand the mystery of your life. We're thankful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first experience is to gain life. In verse 19, Jesus said, before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. Dear Jesus, talking about seeing Christ. Last week, we learned about Nicodemus came to Jesus at night and expressed his understanding about the Lord. But Jesus said, truly I tell you, if you are not born again, you could not see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was proud. I know you have come from God, but Nicodemus did not understand about the kingdom of God. And as I have told you, if we see a piano by a hand, I see this piano already. See doesn't mean that only a look of the eyes, but know the structure of this piano is different than the keyboard. So when we talk about the kingdom of God, we have to understand a country has three things. First, the territory. If there's no territory, there's no nation. Second, is the people in it. Without the people, there is no nation. And third, the sovereign of the nation. Territory of the Lord is our heart. And Jesus said, the kingdom is in our heart. So our heart has become the territory of the Lord. The people of God, who? Everybody who puts the faith in the Lord to walk in His guidance, because we are citizens of the kingdom. And the sovereignty, that is with the Lord. So God is presenting a kingdom of the Lord that if we are not born again, we could not see or enter the kingdom of God. And now Jesus said to his disciple, before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. So the apostle, the disciple, how would he see Jesus? Not because of their eyes to sit there on the mountain that exists before their eyes, but they will see Jesus in his, their minds, will see Jesus in their heart, but his, their experience of him always be in the presence of Christ. This is experience you and I need to have in our life. We have to experience that Christ always in our life. There's a pastor. One Sunday morning, the pastor was dressing for church, and he had a radio on, listening to a local church service. Suddenly, he heard a minister say, it's Easter, and it doesn't make any difference if Christ be risen or not. It's today's Easter. And Mr. Ackley shouted, it's a lie. Christ is risen. And his wife said, why don't you write a song about it? Why don't you write a song about it? Maybe you have the ability to compose a song to let everybody know that he is risen. If God has not been risen, our faith would not be in him. And reading the gospel, we pray again. Talk about all the scripture that he read about the resurrection. He is risen. And feeling God's presence, he began writing like this. I serve a risen Savior. He is in the world today. I know that he is living. Whatever man may say, that lyric, I know that God has been resurrected. Doesn't matter who is doubting, but my heart believes. And he concluded the song like this. If you ask where he lives within my heart. He conditioned, and this song has become this. He is risen, and this hymn becomes very famous. And even today, we still sing this song. And the heart of a believer always be encouraged. If you ask me where and how he lives, the answer is, he lives within my heart. There is no other wonderful answer than to say that Christ lives in our heart. You can introduce Jesus alive because the tomb is empty even now. You can tell others that Christ is risen to appear 500 others. Nobody believes what he said. But if you say, Christ lives in me, that you show, then they will believe. And so, may the Lord help us. When Christ said, I live, you will also live. And then you will see me. See here is an experience. See is in because Christ is in us. When the Lord said, because you will live. So, when God resurrected, it divided this world into two. Those who are alive in Christ and those who are dead from their sin. Whoever put the trust in the Lord will have life. And only those who have no faith in Him or just go to church without having relationship with God, they will have their own destiny in the suffering of Christ. He has changed our condition, the debt that there will be. Men alive by Christ's resurrection. Because I live, so will you, Jesus said. So the line of the believers, not a natural line anymore, but it is the resurrected life of Christ in us. And so the resurrection of Christ is the condition so that all those believers to have the life of Christ. It is the condition for the Christian to live with Christ. In other words, they are living by the resurrected life of Christ in them. When we live by the resurrected life of Christ in us, and that life is very different than what the world said. The natural person, sometimes they are sad. Sometimes they are happy if they get a raise. If they give birth to a son or a new car, a new home. They will be sad if they are sick, they lost their job. If they were abandoned by their friends. And that's a natural reaction. The environment will make them sad or happy. Whatever is harmful, that person will suffer. But a person has the resurrected life of Christ in that person. That person will never be that natural person again. Never be affected by the old environment. Because Christ is carrying them. A person with resurrected life of Christ would not be in fear. Because the victory is encouraging that person. We couldn't open our mouth to complain about the environment because of suffering, because the joy inside will overcome all those complaining. A person with resurrected life Christ cannot hate others because the love of God is full in that person's heart. Along with Christ in them, we cannot be angry to others. It is, could be an emotion, but we could not carry that anger within us because we have been forgiven. The life of has resurrected life in that person will become, is not useless, not wasting time, but serve the Lord. So let us be helped by God when we can experience the resurrected life of Christ in us. We see the Lord meaning that that line is inside of us. When we come here, pray and worship, this is the joy expressed from our heart. There will be worshiping from home. Why? So we don't have to waste time going, driving to the church. But that's not the true worship. It must be with the body of Christ. In the scripture, the men, women, children will be in assembly before God. That's the worship that the Lord is seeking. when you and I took the time to come and worship the Lord, because our heart desired for this worship, to experience the Lord, to see the value of worship with the body of Christ. It's a wonderful thing to be able to do that. May the Lord help us when we come to the sanctuary on time. You are respecting the body of Christ. When we come, let you sit in here instead of outside, instead of outside somewhere, because you sit here because of your respect God. You fear the God. So the new life in Christ is in us, causes us to experience the new life. Whoever is in Christ, the old things have passed away. Before, I didn't do this thing, but now I will do what is pleasing to the Lord because of this new life in me. The second point, God wants us to experience the new experience, that is, to be in Christ. In verse 20, on that day you will realize that I am my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. New congregation. In Christ. That means that Christ talking about relationship between the Father and the Son. Jesus, just like I am in my Father. And so relationship between the believer and Jesus Christ. So that you are in me. There is relationship with the Father, the Son, with all the believers that are in Christ. There is a relationship that is important. If we live in the house of somebody, that person, if different, has a relationship with the owner of the house. So, if a servant working for the owner of the house, that person knows exactly every activities in that house because he's a managing of all that. But if that house has a rich owner, he could not have the richness of that person to share because there is no relationship with that person. This servant can know to receive a salary to manage the all the activities of the house. No relationship. There maybe there is an emotion. So that person would not have to worry about the rest of the family. But if a mother, the son in that family, everything in that activity can be shared because of the relationship. If that family is rich, everybody will share. But if business didn't go well, it will impact the rest of the family as well. If the joy in the family, the members of the family will enjoy that joy. And if there's something passed away, it will impact the loss felt by everybody. And so, a person in the house is different than a person in the family. The relationship between the father and son is very different than someone to stay in the house. The first thing talk about, I am in my Father and you are in me. Christian is in Christ and enjoys the privilege in the family of God that everybody else could not receive. For example, in John chapter 14, verse 17, I give you a spirit that will help her to be with you forever. He is the truth that the world cannot know. That is the Holy Spirit, that comfort, that guiding. But the world could not see or understand. Those are privilege of the Son. In John chapter 14, verse 19, the world will not see me, but you will see me. God has the privilege for the children of God to understand about Jesus that others outside could not understand. the understanding of the fathers in heaven, but others did not. In John chapter 14, verse 27, I give you my peace. That I give you my peace is not of the world. In other words, the peace that I give you that the world cannot give. God gives all his children a peace from inside so that they will face all the troubles, all the tribulations, but the peace of the Lord will overcome all of that. In John chapter 15, verse 15, God treats the Christian very different than the world. Jesus said, I will call you servant, but the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I give you friend, my friend. It's a wonderful thing that God of the creation of this universe call these followers friends. That love is so great. But I want to open a parenthesis here. There are many the different kind of attitude because God loves offering. So we regard God as friend. We do not have that privilege to regard God as friend. God can regard us as friend. The Lord can regard us as friend. But we have no authority to regard God as friend because he is the king of the universe. The children have been loved by the mother. Or the father, they regarded the parents as friends. Just like a friend, a good friend, a dear friend that we can treat with parents. And so there is a structure in the thing. The parents can see the children as friends, but the friends should not regard parents as friends. The Lord does not see us as servants, but see us as friends. But God is still our creator. We respect that friendship, but we do not regard the Lord as a friend, just like a friend of this world. In John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus said, whatever you ask, I will give it to you. This is a privilege that the world could not experience. If you ask me in my name, then the Father will answer you. In John chapter 16, verse 16, the Christian can see the Lord that the Lord could not see. Before long, I will not see me, but you will see me. Now, we see the Lord in our mind and heart, but one day we will see Christ face to face. That is the privilege of a believer. So, thanks be to God. I am in my Father, and you are in me. There is a relationship. And this privilege belongs to the believers. However, in the family, if we have this privilege, we have the responsibility as well. And if our family has a debt, we are responsible to pay the debt as a family. Here, we see the relationship according next to privilege, we also have responsibility. Jesus said in verse 20, as I am in my Father, you are in me, I am in you. The problem is we are in Christ. This is a family relationship, but Christ is in us. And this is a relationship of life. How can Christ be in us? And it's a responsibility for you and me that we have to carry out. In verse 13 and 16, you did not choose me, but I choose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. This is a responsibility that God will use the life of each Christian when declaring the gospel to others. You will bear much fruit. Because of our ability to preach the gospel well, to speak well, or perform miracles? Because I am in you. Because Jesus Christ is in us, that we can go out and bear much fruit. In chapter 15, verse 18, Jesus said, if the world hates you, then our believers will be persecuted and hated. Why did the world hate us? Because they hated Jesus first. We have a relationship with the Lord is that they persecuted and hated us. Similarly, we will be treated the same. We will be hated by the world. In chapter 16, verse 20, I will tell you, in this world will you have trouble. Why does the children will suffer while the world is happy? But Jesus said, but your suffering will become joy. There is a guarantee in the word of God. Now, this suffering can occur to you and me. It's just temporary. But eventually, it will change to joy that nothing can buy it. Praise be to God because of this guarantee from the Lord. In verse 36 to 33, I tell you, in this world, you will have in peace. You will have trouble in this world. We have peace in Christ, but we continue to have trouble in this world. But what happened? But take heart, I have overcome the world. Praise be to God, because we have the privilege given to us as children of God. But you and I also being put in a situation that the Christian that we do not want to be in part of suffering. There is no other promise when Jesus has promised, but I will be in you. When Jesus has promised, God is in us, that God can heal whatever we feel in our life. Whenever we are happy or sad, God can understand that because Christ is in us. When you are successful, Christ will know how successful you are or what failure you have. Jesus can know you are being loved or you're being hated. All these experiences are the experience that we, because God is in us, Christ is in us. He will understand all of our feelings. And so this experience must be a sure thing in our life. It's not just happening at church to see each other on a Sunday, to read each other, and then go home. And we feel meaninglessness of our activities in front of the discipline. All of that sadness and happiness that God's given will always be in our life if we can experience the light of Christ. We are a new creation in Christ. This is the decision, the choice. Are we giving ourselves to the Lord to become a new creation or not? Without faith, nobody can become a new creation. There's a young person. His name is Ed Young. He had a friend named Walter Carroll, who was an atheist. He was a good guy, though. But he does not have faith. One Sunday afternoon, Walter looked at me and said, Eddie, do you believe there's a God? And I said, sure, Walter, I believe there's a God. His friend said, you don't live like it. And Eddie said, you don't know, his friend said, you don't live like you believe. Because what I do, you also do like me. What I say, you also. So is there a difference between you and me? I know that if there's a God, that your heart has to believe that in God, then there is an experience that caused you to know Him, to live according to what God wants you to live. You and me, there is no difference. And that cause they need to be awakened. We can go to church. We can be participate in all religiously, but He has not the Savior in His heart. The one who doesn't have the Lord in Christ in him, that person could never become a new creation. A new creation is that could be changed to the new law of Christ. Just like the butterfly growing from the cocoon, from the cocoon. And so these are ugly picture, but that ugly world can become beautiful like the butterfly because He has become a new. God created this world a new creation so that we can see and understand how God can change and something ugly to become beautiful. If that world continued to work, it would not fulfill the purpose of life. That worm, if not becoming a butterfly, will be hated. And so the life of a Christian is conformed to the world. And we have to ask ourselves, are we in Christ? Because Jesus knows, as I am in the Father and you are in me, not only I will also be in you. A relationship, a mutual relationship, very special. Only Christianity could have it. There is no other religion in the world that has that relationship with the Creator. The leader of a religious should have that kind of relationship that Jesus talked about. So we must examine ourselves. Do I have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? May we able to determine that in our heart. Also, those of our relatives. The third point, the new experience is to be loved. Love and to be loved is something so wonderful in this world. So we'll think about the love that Christ has for us. In verse 21, whoever has my commands and keep them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father. When Jesus said, my Father, the God in heaven, will love whoever loves me. God is love. He loved this world so that He created this world. And because of His love for Him, that God gives the life to His creation. And because of sin, this world could only understand God in a vague way. There may be a God they can understand, but the world cannot understand the relationship. They could not understand the God that God is love. But today, He wants to show us love to you and me with the position of a Father. Father, rather than from the position of Creator. He created a closest relationship more than from the beginning as He was creating the world. When you and I was young, we went to school. All the teachers loved the children, loved their students. But in the past, maybe we can see you or some other friends will be a favorite of the teacher. Do you see the difference there? Completely different. That teacher to talk to that fellow teacher. And if the teacher has something good to give to his fellow children, and then those favorites of the teacher will receive special treatment. And so that student has the privilege, and others desire to be the position of the student. And sometimes the favorite student can come to that home teacher to enjoy a meal or something. When the favorite student, the relationship of the teacher with that student is different than the teacher with the rest of the other students. But all the students, they all learn from the teacher. But with the favorite student, there's a special treatment. That relationship is special because the emotion of the parent, the teacher to the special student. The favoritism. That means the teacher, if it has a favor, it can give better grades. But if I express my love to my student, that is not truly favoritism. God created this world with His love. But those believers in Christ, they have a relationship with Christ. He is treating us very special by His love. And so, God treats us by that kind of love that Jesus said, "My love, my Father will love you." When there is a relationship with Christ, you can experience the Father's love in us as well. But whoever is loved by Jesus, those who are going to church of each other, or those who are doing certain things in the church? No. Jesus, whoever are in Christ, who will keep the commands and keep the commands of the Lord. In verse 21, whoever has my commands and keep them is the one who loves me. Jesus doesn't say, is somebody sing well or play a good instrument, but the one who loves Christ is not the one performing many activities. The one who loves Christ, who keep the commands of the Lord. And so, we have to determine in our heart, do we love Jesus? If we love Jesus, the action of us to be proven in our life. Many people love the Lord, and we pray in our heart. It's not just a quiet prayer. It's just like a girl loving a guy in secret. They were doing anything of admiring a girl. And so there is no interaction between the two, because one of them loves the other in secret. Because that kind of love, it is only an emotion, but there is no relationship in it. A secret love, a secret admirer, we could not call that really love, because it's lacking a relationship. But if you have a relationship in that love, like a newborn in our family, or we have just get married, that love, when we are in a relationship, it will cause us to have concrete actions of love. A husband saying love the wife, that let the wife do all the chores in the house, cannot be. It must have a concrete action to express the love of a husband to a wife. Although we are working to bring home the money, but the concrete action proves the love, show that we have that love in us, the relationship. A son telling, "I love my parents," it must be shown through obedience. And not just be a good student to complete his responsibility, or to mow the grass, to clean the house, to do their chores. Without obedience, that is not love. And so, love in that relationship must be the love to express some kind of sacrifice, the attitude of love to be obedient to the word in a concrete way. And so when we love the Lord, must understand the Lord and obey the commands of Christ. If we just come here to the church, that doesn't mean you love the Lord. It's not part of the word of God. Now, when Christ loves us, what does Christ do? Jesus said, I will love them and show myself to them. When Christ loves us, he has a concrete action. That is, he will express himself, reveal himself to us. And because of that, so that you can understand better in Christ, to know that Christ is rich, has authority over sin. God expressed his love for us. He wants to share our life. Jesus wants to come individually to us to share in our life. So when we face trouble, difficulties, whatever condition, Jesus wants to share all that. And Paul expressed that in Galatians. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That life of Paul does not live for himself now. Why? Because Christ has come inside of Paul's heart and lived in with him. This is a wonderful experience that God wants everyone to experience and understand, so that to give each Christian in our Christian life experience happiness, to experience contentment, to experience bearing of fruits. And so that person has a particular value, everlasting value before God, to help that faith to be faithful until the end. When God chose his disciple, God did not refuse, Jesus did not refuse himself to sin. Judas can sell the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Peter can deny the Lord. Thomas can doubt Christ. But when Christ revealed into the life of these apostles, and Peter now ready to die because of the gospel, they took Peter to nail him to the cross. And then Peter said, please do not nail myself on the cross, to the cross like Christ, but I must be crucified upside down because I'm not worthy to be nailed to the cross like Christ. Thomas, the Indians hated him so that to the point where he was killed by the sword. But Thomas felt joy because he belonged to Christ. When we love Christ, we can experience the life of Christ in us. We can pay any price to have Christ. Polycarp is a student of John, and he's also a teacher himself. In the year of 69 to 150, when Polycarp put faith in Christ, he was captured by the Romans. If you want to live, you have to curse Christ. Then I will let you go. The Romans court tell him. Polycarp said like this, I served the Lord for 86 years. I can only see blessings of the Lord. So how could I curse someone who blessed me all my life? He is my king. And finally, he got burned at the stake. He has been faithful throughout this execution. Polycarp's death has been a light to thousands of followers afterward to continue to follow Christ. And so many have been martyrs because of the love for Christ. When Christ is in our life, not only we are giving good fruits in our life, but also even if we pass away, God will also care. May the Lord bless us. May we understand how the Lord will reveal himself to us until we have a relationship with Christ. We will not see him. Whoever is in Christ, he is a new creation. All the old things have gone. The new is here. May God bless each one of you. This morning is the first Sunday of the month. We will have communion to receive cup and bread to represent the body and blood of Christ. I hope that we are not doing this as a formality, but this is a privilege based on the promise of Christ. We receive the blood and the body of Christ so that our life will be worthy for his sacrifice for us, that we have responsibility to tell others about the gospel. And so we will return. In the key verse, we will read it once again. This is a promise from the Lord, from the scripture for us. Let's all stay. We will read together this key verse. Read together. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Let's pray. Ye our loving Father, we thank you, Lord, because in you we truly may become a new creation. We can experience the new giving experience of the Lord. We can experience the life of Christ flowing through us. In Christ, we can experience a relationship like just a family. In Christ, we can experience your love that you have guaranteed. May we examine ourselves. Do we have a relationship with Christ now or not? May the Lord help us, for each of us. The old things will pass away, and everything become new. And this time, we'll receive the cup and bread that represent the body and blood of Christ that has been shed for us on the cross. Thank you, Jesus, because you accepted the punishment in place of us to be forsaken by God for us because of the shedding of blood. We have been purchased with a price so that we can become your children. May we by faith in Christ. This is a promise that my life will ever be in your hand until the end of it. We pray that there will be no reason, there is no condition, or none of the part of this world will deter us from following Christ. Because no one can snatch us from the love of Christ. May we be worthy to receive this cup and bread this morning. So that this only not a formality, not just a formality, but it is truly a privilege to know the promise you have given us. that you teach us the way to live according to your law. We thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.